This is Jackie Shen from Microsoft Research Azure. So today I'm going to talk about WalkieMarkie. So it's an efficient indoor password mapping system. So this is a joint work with my interns, Zhuo Chen and Pei Cao Zhang, and also colleagues Thomas Masbrada and Yong Guang Zhang. I think you know previous speaker has motivated the importance of the location. Indeed, there is ever increasingly interest in location-based services for both industry and also academia. Many research works has focused on how to improve the location accuracy, and primarily focused on the location inference algorithms. And they actually has largely neglected the important enabler, which is the maps. I remember a colleague asked about the question, so how do we know the position of access points? So, so regularly we can see some sentence like this. So we assume certain maps is available, can be established offline, advanced, et cetera. So actually this such assumptions is not easy to fulfill in practice. It depends on the actual mechanism of localization. So there are different type of maps. And in this work, we are particularly interested in building the password maps because, for indoor environments, the users move along the pathways. And more importantly, the point of interest are all connected via pathways. So that's why we focus on the password mapping. The problem which I want to solve is, so how can we build internal password maps for millions of buildings? For example, all the shopping malls in Microsoft in United States. So we are with Microsoft, so we are actually thinking in the shoes of a big internet service provider such as Bing. So we want to, have the such maps for many, many buildings. Given this question, actually the easier solution can be, so can we just ask a specialist to do the on-site survey? But this obviously is expensive and it does not scale. And also, maybe we can just directly ask for floor plans from different building owners. That's impractical either. So our idea is trying to construct these password maps through user tracking and also through crowdsourcing to, for the scalability. Think about this. There are many users working in the indoor environments. So actually, their trajectory always consists of portions of the pathways. So if we are able to aggregate enough user trajectories, so we should be able to infer the overall pathway map out. And this is actually backed up by recent advances in inertial tracking with the IMU sensors. Here IMU stands for the accelerometer, the gyroscope, and the compass. Actually, it's all equipped with modern mobile phones. So we want to build a crowdsourcing system to automatically construct the password maps through ordinary users. Actually, there are several challenges. The first one is, the IMU sensors can track the user, but it is only performs good at the initially. It will drift over the time. So actually, we can see this from the figure there. So initially, it looks like along the exact pathways, but after a while, it will drift seriously. And perhaps the more important or more critical challenge is actually we want to fuse the data from multiple users because anyway, a single user can work only a small portion of the overall internal building. So how can we fuse data from different users? A user can start and stop anywhere. And also they can work quite differently. So also as a crowdsourcing systems, we should not change the user's normal behavior, right? They should use the phone as is, as their normal usage. So so to fuse the data from different users, okay, one idea is to try to find the common things among data set from different users. So we here, actually, our idea is trying to find some landmarks. This is motivated from our real-life experience. Right? So when we ask for directions, people always giving directions with reference to some landmarks. Landmarks themselves are actually easily to identify and also very stable at a non-location. The particular merit of landmark is it can stop error progression. So when you reach a landmark, no matter how you have detoured that all those errors in the direction or in the distance are actually all gone once you reach a landmark. So we want to use the landmark. But the subtlety here is actually we need to the landmark to be perceived by the phone, not by the user. Recall that we don't want to change the way the user uses the phone. So the visual landmarks, okay, which is easy for the for user, right? Because I have our advanced you know vision system. Actually, it's not quite possible for the phone because most of the time we are putting the phone in our pockets. So given the rich set of sensors, existing sensors on the mobile phone, so how can we find you know other landmarks? So then we put our attention on the Wi-Fi infrastructure because you know for its wide deployment. So we're thinking, can we use the access points as a landmark? Well, the access points is even though it's at a fixed position, but it's the coverage is overly large, especially for our purpose to really to build you know very fine grained internal password maps. So how about using Wi-Fi fingerprints? Because many Wi-Fi-based research work already proved that the Wi-Fi fingerprints can better associate the location and the signal. But actually, it turned out to be very difficult because of the signal fluctuation and the multi-pass effect. And also, it's very difficult to handle the device diversity because different devices, even at the exact same location for the same access points, the readings will be quite different. So here comes our key idea. So instead of looking for the access points, we look for its so-called shadows on the pathways. So this figure shows the illustration. Okay, there is a layout of the pathways and also a deployment of access points. Now, suppose a user carrying the phone was moving along one of the pathways. So because of the distance between the user and the access points changes, become closer first and then become further away. So we will see the trend of RSS will first increase and then decrease. This is governed by the law of radio propagation. So our idea is actually, you know, we will treat this, the location that corresponds to the tipping point of the RSS trend as a Wi-Fi defined landmark. Okay. Given the relative layout of the access point and the other pathways, actually we have you know multiple opportunities to identify this Wi-Fi landmarks. So that you know gives us some you know hope. Then we did some measurement study to verify if it can be served as a landmark. So this the figure shows the RSS plot, which is a filtered. ISS plot for a short walk. So we walked straight along a corridor and then used two different devices at a different time of day. And so we can observe something here. First of all, okay, the peak, this actually is all highly clustered at almost exactly the same location at a different time of the day on also different devices. And also, so we are detecting using the trend, so which is obvious. And make it easily discoverable by the phone, by the device itself. And also, if we look at the two set of curves, we see that so the two devices actually has quite a different of different gain, receiver gain. So by almost 10 dBm here. So but we rely on the trend. Therefore, there is no therefore the detection results of the landmarks are all the same. So all this actually shows the feasibility of the Wi-Fi mark, and we mentioned okay, there are multiple possibilities of the of Wi-Fi marks. Here we show the example here. And now, given this layout of the pathways, now let's focus on the access point AP1 here. So depends on how the user walks, we are able to find many opportunities of this landmarks here. Okay, so actually, you know, for this one, actually, sometimes for all these actually are valid ones, but it's difficult to really distinguish them. And we said okay, for the landmark, it has to be you know uniquely identifiable. And then actually, in some cases, if the user walks first towards the access point, then turn around, actually there will make some false cases. So we need some way to identify those. So our solution is, we're trying to identify a Wi-Fi mark using a three element tuple. So first of all, is SSID of the primary of the master access points. And also we consider, how the way how the user walked, using the orientation information, which can be obtained from the IMU sensors. And also we consider the neighboring access points. This is mainly to differentiate Wi-Fi marks on parallel corridors. Okay, of course, in practice, actually, because of the sensor errors, and also, that it takes time for the device to sense the Wi-Fi environment, and actually we will see some variations in practice. But given all these variations, actually our experimental results confirm that actually it's very stable for those access points for those Wi-Fi marks, and also it's very consistent among different experiments. So I hope I convinced you, the Wi-Fi marks are easily detectable and are highly stable and consistent. We can achieve, 90% percentile accuracy or stability within 2 meters. Now, so we want to build the password maps from this user contributor traces. Suppose the user recorded all the Wi-Fi marks it encounters, and also the trajectory information between those Wi-Fi marks. And then, using the Wi-Fi marks as a common reference point between different users, so we are able to fuse the trajectories from different users together. Okay, now we want to ask another question. So, how should we place this Wi-Fi marks? So this is actually a classical graph embedding problem. So there are some previous work there, and we designed a new, a more efficient algorithm we call Artoria by using additional information. In our case, actually, it's the walking directions. So the idea is very simple. It's based on spring relaxation. So basically, we treat each node, each Wi-Fi mark here, as a node, and then for any trajectory that connects to Wi-Fi marks, we call it a measurement. Okay. For this measurement, we will add an edge to those corresponding Wi-Fi marks. And then we incorporate all the user data into and make it a graph. Now, our goal is trying to find, to assign the locations, coordinates of all these Wi-Fi marks so that it will best abide by the measurement of all the user traces. So this is achieved through iterations, right? Because basically we treat it as a spring network. So if we squeeze the whole graph into the same locations, then we let go the whole and all the springs, it will naturally converge to a minimum energy state. So here, actually, we have been the difference between this algorithm and the previous ones is we are using the direction information. Therefore, we are using the displacement between the Wi-Fi marks, not as a distance. Okay, why we cannot use the distance? Because give this a very simple example here. Now we have two Wi-Fi marks, one and two. If the user walked this way, and then the distance will be two, because we are relying on IMU tracking to count how many steps you walked. But if the user walked the other way, actually the distance will be six. So this will actually, inconsistent observation will make the graph less localizable. That's why if we use a displacement, actually, we'll have consistent observations there. And also using displacement actually leads to more effective updates in each iteration. Because now the moving direction of each node position in the middle iterations actually is determined by the net force of all the how the neighbors, you know, stretch the particular node. Now we have the direction information. Actually, you know, all this moving directions will be more consistent, more coherent. So we perform the algorithm with other, you know, like Vivaldi or like anchor-free localization. These are actually representative work on graph embedding. So we can see, obviously, you know, we can achieve much better much better results in much less iterations. And okay, all this more detailed results. So all this actually confirms that Atorio actually has faster speed and also, you know, better accuracy. So I hope I convince you. So where Atorio actually can also, you know, effectively locate the Wi-Fi marks. So now, all this actually are based on simulations. Now we want to ask, so what's the real system performance? So we did a lot of evaluations. This is how we implement this. I'm going to skip this. So this is just the visual result. Basically, we walked in our office floor with the shape. The ground truth shape is shown in the blue lines in the top left, bottom left figure. So you can see after about 20 minutes walk, so we are able to we are able to form a course, you know, map, password maps, and then if we accumulate more and more data, actually we will see the inferred password maps, you know, keep on improving. So after 15 minutes walk, so it's really, you know, very close to the ground truth one. By the way, for this actually, you know, we have for this 100 minute walk, actually we asked, you know, 7 students to walk the all the data. So it indeed consists of data from different users. And we also, you know, walked to a nearby shopping mall to really to do the mall test. And we don't have the map there, so that's why we take a photo from the flyer. As you can see, the rightmost figure. And then we mark the way how we walked, and then we're using our method to really infer the password map. If you look at the right button one, that figure, the C. Okay, so it actually is very close to the ground truth, which is D. Also, we done lots of experiments to quantify our system, and we defined some metrics called discrepancy and a shape discrepancy. Basically, here the node we are referring to the singular locations. For example, the turning points or the crosses, and also the shape discrepancy means how the actual connecting passes between neighboring nodes. So the accuracy actually are really good. So for 90% of time, actually we are achieve less than 2 meters accuracy. And the maximum discrepancy is below 3 meters. And our system can, you know, quickly converge, maybe usually after 5 to 6 visits per segment. And also we apply our algorithm to the real localization, and we can achieve, let's say, for 50 and 90% accuracy is about 1.7 and 2.9 meters. And if we compare that to with radar, which is in this case is about 2.3 meters and 5.2 meters, so our actually are better than radar. Okay, so as a conclusion, so we propose a very effective way to leverage the Wi-Fi infrastructure, you know, to construct the password maps in a crowdsourcing way. So here I want to explain. So why it's called a walkie marquee. So it's basically, that means the user walks and the device will marks. So in the future, actually, we hope to incorporate other, you know, type of location marks like stairs, like an elevator or like lift, because this actually can be perceived by the phone as well. Okay, I have 10 seconds, so this is most important message is like this. So actually we are hiring and for interns and also FTs, so if you are interested, please contact me. Thank you.
So this is totally neat, just the idea of using these gradients of Wi-Fi signal strength. But it also makes me a little scared, right? Because it's not that Wi-Fi signal strength is really stable over time, or even that, I mean, you showed some nice graphs of being stable over space, but we've all had the experience of you take a step forward, it's better, you take a step back, it's worse. And so can you imagine, are there more complex environments where the Wi-Fi signal strength over, say, a path is not going to be these nice, simple curves? You'll have many, many marking points, and that could be confusing the algorithm?
I think the question is really about, you know, for some part of the indoor environments, the Wi-Fi, you know, the fingerprint, RSS of the Wi-Fi bin may not be that stable. Okay, so I think I agree with you. Yes, in some part of the environments, actually, it's not that stable. The good thing is, for this system to work, actually, we don't need to find a Wi-Fi mark everywhere. Okay, so as long as there are some Wi-Fi marks, okay, in an indoor environment, so we are able to do that. Okay, maybe a related comment is like this, right? So it's not required to every time the user will sense the same set of Wi-Fi marks, because we have proved that if there is a Wi-Fi mark, as long as the user can detect that, it's going to be stick to that particular location. So so it doesn't matter. You don't have to every time to observe that. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Hey, Steve Tarzia from VaporStream. Good work. Can you talk more about how you deal with cases when the user is not just walking in a certain path? I think that in your experiments, the users are just walking kind of continuously. It's probably a constant rate, and you do step detection, you figure out their speed. But you know, if a user decides to go and turn around, I mean, you talked about turning around, but random walks, how does that change the problem?
I think actually this is a good question, right? So for our systems, if you read our paper, so even though yes, we ask the student to walk continuously, but when we do the evaluation of, we really chop the walking trace into a 1 minute segment, because we're trying to emulate how the user actually walks. So basically, we just a random chop, okay, into 1 minute segment, and then we're trying to infer the actual pathway map from those randomly selected, 1 minute segments. I agree. So it's because we're doing experiment, so we have be usually it's more careful walking than the ordinary users. Yeah, but I think again, I really believe in the power of the crowd of the crowdsourcing. Right, if, as long as we can get enough data from different users, those errors will actually is going to be canceled out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Sartha Grover from George Tech. I was wondering how many real system implementations you tried. Like, you talked about one in your office and one nearby mall, right? But sometimes, buildings are not designed the same, and materials you use in the building might, impact your measurements and stuff. And if at the nearest location of a user with the AP where you're supposed to have a peak, there's a tower or something in the middle, or a metallic body, it suddenly spoils the system. So, I think that's one of the problems with indoor location systems, that a solution cannot be generic across all types of buildings. So how have you handled that? If you employ this in a hospital where there are so many metallic objects or something, will it still work?
Yes, I think the question is somehow related to a first question, right? So in our situations, so we really emphasize more on the stability of the environment, right? So as long as you didn't change the relative layout of your corridors and also where deployed the access points, so it's okay. Even though, let's say, for example, you have mentioned some transient phenomena. For example, I was sitting here. Now there is some moving objects pass by. Yes, that will affect my measurement, but that will not cause any severe problem, right? Because we just missed this landmark. For example, if we are doing a localization, so it's okay to miss this one. I can still using the previous one, right? Because as if you can, I hope you have seen from our paper, actually, a large number of Wi-Fi marks we can identify in practice.
Okay. Thank you.